Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Another Thursday edition of Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly magazine, radio magazine program, where we discuss important economic and political issues in the Black community. Tonight's topic: can we achieve liberation while simultaneously overconsuming, enriching others, being miseducated, celebrating pilgrims, pumpkins, and other celebrations that are not a part of our history and culture? Give us your thoughts. When we get ready to start the program in just 1 minute. Once again, and yes, we are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Welcome to the Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 to 10. Dare to Win is the place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build, maintain, and pass forward to future generations the machinery of economic self-determination. Tonight's conversation, you can be a part of it. To join the conversation, call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you are on the computer, go to our website, www.usliftingus.com. Click on the Ulu Radio tab, then click on Listen Live. My name is Brother Kimbezi. I'm one of the board members of Us Lifting Us. And tonight we are joined by another board member, Brother Thurman Smith. Good evening, Brother Thurman. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be with the family once again.
Well, good. It's good to hear your voice, as always. And you posed an interesting question for our listening audience tonight. Can we achieve liberation while simultaneously overconsuming, enriching others, being miseducated, celebrating pilgrims and pumpkins and other celebrations that are not a part of our history and culture. So let's begin this conversation and maybe just start off by saying, first of all, I think many of us have different ideas of what is meant when we say liberation. So just let's talk about that for a few minutes. What do we in Us Lifting Us mean as we talk about achieving liberation? How would you respond to that, Brother Thurman?
Well, achieving liberation is broad, but actually liberation, to achieve liberation, we would be liberated in all areas of people, activity, and everything that we're dealing with. And so if that includes where we're dealing with economics, with Us Lifting Us, so we cannot be free in this economic world without economic power of our own, because it would position us to become independent, and we'd have our own land and our own stores, our own food, our own farms, and we would not be bound and being at the mercy of others. With the liberation, it would also require that we are educating our own. We're growing our own food. We know what's in it. But when we're not liberated, when we are just consistently at the mercy of others, and we're not providing the basics that we need to exist in this world. So I mentioned economics, but that would also include food, water, shelter, clothing, and security, our own security. All of those things we must have in place to truly be liberated. And in that education, we'd have to be make sure that we are connected and have some clarity about origins of things. And so, for example, the African-centered education brings a greater clarity about who we are and where we came from and who we really still are now, genetically included. But the miseducation, most of us are not have limited knowledge at all about our genetic makeup, which is very, very necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. I'm reminded, Brother Amilcar Cabral, in talking about liberation, says that it is the condition when all of the productive forces have been freed from all kinds of foreign control and domination. So he puts it squarely on the economic issues. When you mentioned food, clothing, shelter, energy, all of these are parts of the means of production. And in an economic standpoint, whoever controls the means of production controls the economy, controls the culture, controls life. And so you're absolutely right. When we talk about achieving liberation, then we have to be focused on being able to produce our own food, our own clothing, our own shelter, and all the other aspects that make living enjoyable and can sustain it. So, yes, I think you're putting us on the right path. And you're asking us to take a hard look at our behavior and begin to recognize that we have work to do in the economic arena if we're serious about liberation. Brother Thurman, you mentioned not only the business of being liberated, but you go immediately to the question of celebrating pilgrims and pumpkins and other kinds of celebrations. What is the problem with that in your mind? And how does that relate to us being liberated?
Well, earlier we mentioned miseducation. We cannot be liberated when we don't have right evidence-based information. And if we are absorbed with a whole lot of well-dressed lies, then our people are going around and spending their life, their entire life, indulging in beliefs that will not pass the test of evidence, and it damages our worldview. We're out of our African mind in this scenario though, that I'm talking about. And when we are truly liberated and really have clarity about who we are, where we came from, and everything that applies to us, and as I said earlier, even our genetic makeup, we have a whole different view of life, and we're in a harmonious flow. And I think you mentioned a few minutes ago about being liberated and being free and being able to enjoy life. And before the invaders came, that's the way we lived for hundreds and thousands and millions of years before the invaders came. And we mm-hmm. so part of our liberation is to get back to where we can live like that. I hope I didn't get off the point.
You're right on point. You know, it's
The holidays is you know, in simple terms, is just straight up brainwashing, because for one, there's nothing ethical, morally righteous about it. It's misleading our people. And a lot of the origins of the European holidays are cruel, brutal, killer kind of things. And we have spent a lot of time on that, but just being that we mentioned the holidays and the pilgrims and the pumpkins, years ago I started asking in September, October, sisters and brothers, I said, were pilgrims good people? And a lot of our people would pause on that question, and some of them said yes. And I just encourage them to just go read about them and find out. And then, when I included in the topic pumpkins, because I think it's essential that we, you know, take the opportunity to give people bits and pieces that can provide some clarity of things that they absolutely should not do. So, for example, the pumpkin, the origins of the pumpkin, and it's found in many references that Europeans wrote about themselves, including one, a book called The Woman's Encyclopedia. But in there it says that carving the face in the pumpkin symbolizes, and this is what they wrote about themselves, carving the face in the pumpkin symbolizes when they used to cut each other's head off. And what that's referencing is that before the Europeans came to this land, in Europe every Halloween season, part of their ritual was that they would go out and select some of their people and kill them and cut their head off and pull the flesh off their skull and the insides out and stick a candle in it and dance around and do their ritual. So I said, again, carving the face in the pumpkin symbolizes when they used to cut each other's head off. And these are things that's referenced in quite a few books that they wrote about themselves. That's insane. And if I didn't...
You know.
If I didn't know what I just told you and you told me and I had a pumpkin on my porch, I would immediately go get it off and I would never participate in that again.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that what we are talking about on one level has to do with certainly propaganda and misinformation. But all of the holidays revolve around a certain narrative or story, and these narratives and stories capture a people's life philosophy, and they communicate these ideas subliminally and psychologically to children and others in the community. So they become a ritual way of passing forward the culture. What we have experienced, I think, in the United States is we've been captivated by the narrative and the narratives of those who have enslaved African bodies. And so this unwitting participation in these holidays, not understanding the deeper meanings of the symbolism and passing it forward to our own children so that they grow up in an environment where these are positive and fun things for them, not realizing the deeper, you know, really sinister ideas that are being communicated in these rituals. So it is very important that we, first of all, become aware of what is the meaning of these holidays? What are the deeper psychological symbols that these things represent? And then we have to take a step back and ask ourselves the question, is this what I want to teach my children? Is this what they need to grow up practicing and not even understanding fully what it means? Someone said that at the zenith of African civilization, that what these ancient people who call themselves Kemetic people were able to do is codify black genius in a way that each succeeding generation was able to build on what the previous generation had done and take it to even greater heights. That we have gotten away from because now we are enmeshed and trapped in these narratives of a culture that degrades and dehumanizes African life. So while on the one hand we're talking about pumpkins and pilgrims, what we're really talking about at a much deeper level is rewriting and reclaiming our own African narratives. So as you said earlier, we can get back into our own African minds. What other points did you want to make and share with our listening audience around this idea of holidays and pilgrims and pumpkins? Anything else you want to add to that, Brother Thurman?
We've got to have the willingness to be reawakened when we've been put asleep or out of our African mind. And so awakening does require courage. For some people it's easier than it is for others. But so that's why I said if I didn't know about the pumpkin and somebody told me what was mentioned tonight, if I had one, I would throw it away and I would never do it again. But there's people that this stuff is like an addiction, and some of them have to be weaned off of their loyalty to the European lies, and so that's something we've got to work with our people. Everybody cannot go forward, but we need to immediately, the sooner that we let go of the loyalty to the lies and to the things that's part of our destruction and our self-genocide, the sooner we will get to in our right mind, and we would go forward and achieve the liberation. And so there's lots of references, including Ishaka Musa Barashango, one of our ancestors, African origins and European holidays, that the sisters and brothers can look up, and it's readily available on YouTube and even some pieces on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. That's good information. I want to pick up something that you said. Why this is important is because it goes back to this whole definition of liberation being the freeing of the productive forces. When we're talking about productive forces, that's an economic term, and it has to do with two other things. One, the means of production, and two, production relations. The means of production, as many of us recognize and know, have to do with land and factories and natural resources like oil or bauxite or coltan. So the question is, who controls the means of production? Under the current capitalist system, the means of production are privately owned, and that's a problem. They're privately owned by 1% of the population. And so that means that the other 99% are controlled and dominated and exploited by the 1% who control and who say they own the means of production. In truth, the only reason that they are able to say that they own the means of production is because they have armies and militia and police to challenge anyone that wants to say, no, you can't own the land and the water and the air and the very elements of nature. But that's the nature of capitalism. And so the means of production are also businesses. And we'll come back to this point a little bit later. When we and Us Lifting Us begin to build our own businesses, small, medium, and large scale, each of those businesses becomes a means of production. And what that means then is because they are collectively owned, we are taking ownership of the means of production and giving it back to ourselves. So that's step number one. The second part of that has to do with production relations. In other words, as we engage in this economic work, in this economic activity, relationships are formed amongst ourselves. It's real obvious in a slavery system that the dominant relationship is between master and slave. In capitalism, it's between boss and worker. In feudalism, it was between the serf and the landlord. In a cooperative economy, which Us Lifting Us is building, it's a relationship of equals. We are all worker owners of the economic machinery. And so these vertical relationships are made horizontal, and the inequality gives way to an equality. So this business of liberation via economics means that we are now teaching ourselves the principles, the scientific principles that undergird how business is done. One way of doing it is in an environment where all of these tools are privately owned, and we've seen what that has led to. Or we're moving into a new day where these same economic tools are available to us, and now we can collectively own them, or own them as a group, or own them as a community. And in that change, we free ourselves, because now we're able to make our own decisions and make our own choices. So that's the long way around to talk about then the holidays, because what we do as we rewrite our own holidays, we now also rewrite the narratives about what is important, what is the meaning of life. And so we choose different symbols and different rituals, and that's what we teach our children. And that also helps to break them out of the mind control that has been imposed on us as living in this system that is so decadent and so demonic. So when you said that thing about celebrating pilgrims and pumpkins and all of those holidays that we've all grown up doing, it just reminded me, you know, when we don't question it, it just seems normal.
Yes.
And that's the dangerous part. So we are now talking about it in the way to say, well, is this really normal? Is this really good, or do we need to think about this differently and come at it from a different way?
Yes.
You there, Brother Simon?
Yes. And also the holidays, that's also a major issue that's causing problems for us, is that it automatically it requires us to consume. So we go out and buy pumpkins to put on the porch and all of this food. And the people that are in the major food companies, you know, October, November, December, there's a major rise in the money that they make. And they can actually track, you know, there's a major rise in the money that black people spend on this food consuming. And as the topic used the term over-consuming, And that's what we're doing, over-consuming. And so if a major part of us lifting us is us taking control of the economics, then these millions and multi-millions and billions of dollars that we are over-consuming, things that makes us sick, things that we don't need, we can use those things to instantly position ourselves to take control and be liberated, you know, not just in this land, but all over the planet.
That's a good word, Brother Thurman. We're up against our first music break. Again, for those who are listening by phone, you can join the conversation, 929-477-2789. Press the number 1, and we'll open the line and receive your comment or your question. We'll be right back after this break. Don't touch that dial. This is the Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us, weekly radio program. We come to you live every Thursday from 9 to 10 o'clock p.m. And we thank you for taking time out of your set schedule and spending the hour with us. Tonight we are talking with Brother Thurman Smith, an ULU board member, and we are exploring the question, can our people achieve liberation while simultaneously over-consuming, enriching others, being miseducated, celebrating pilgrims and pumpkins and other things that are not a part of our history and culture? As we come out of this first break, Brother Thurman, let's talk a little bit about the problem of miseducation and how Us Lifting Us and we as a community can go about canceling the effects of the miseducation and what it says to us, what we must do going forward so that our children don't continue to be misinformed and as a result of that, behave in ways that don't benefit them. Talk to us a little bit about the problems of miseducation and some of the solutions that you think will move us forward.
The miseducation causes us, for one, to have a poor image of ourselves and have a faithful image to the ones that miseducated us, primarily Europeans. And when we have a poor image of ourselves, it's easy for them to sell us on the lies about us being genetically or mentally incapable of being as smart and productive as they are. We are ugly. We're black. Our skin. There's a problem with our nose, our lips, our hair, and all of that's about miseducation. And then the reeducation that we must have. And the solution is to stop the miseducation by, ideally, more and more African people are doing around the world, they're doing homeschools or either African-centered schools. And without that, then a solution towards the re-education of our is to have some Saturday schools where we can expose people to all of our great teachers and scholars, you know, ancestors, existing people. And there's just a long list of master teachers that are ancestors like John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and Amos Wilson and many, many more. And in the process of re-educating our people, we would have some clarity about our genetic makeup, which in the miseducation we don't. And so in the miseducation, they talk about skin and the dermis and the epidermis, but they don't get into melanin. And as Carl Barnes, one of our researchers, wrote, Melanin, the Chemical Key to Black Greatness, there's just a lot of essential things about melanin that once you get it, nobody could sell you on the lie that you're ugly. Nobody could sell you on the lie that there's something wrong with your skin, your lips, your nose, and your hair. Because all of the attributes of our genetic makeup is very valuable to our survival, including our spiritual survival. And just for example, when I say spiritual survival, when we get re-educated, we've got to be re-educated to everything, all areas of people activity, and that includes health. But when we get into health where we're properly being nourished, it helps open up our third eye. But when we've been miseducated along with consuming a foul, devitalized diet, most of our people, their third eye, their spiritual self is closed. And so part of the re-education about everything, including the health, helps to reawaken our mind, including our spiritual mind, and our third eye is open, and we see and comprehend life realistically and on a higher level, and then we're not susceptible to being confused and told that we're ugly, and we preach it to each other.
Wow. You just put a lot on us right there. The third eye and poor self-image and diet and...
Yes, it's amazing.
But, you know, it is amazing.
Yes.
No, you I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, it's amazing that in the years that you and I and a number of the elders on the call have lived, that there's still generations behind us and children coming along that they actually think that they're ugly, and somebody tell them that and they'll believe it. That's because they don't know.
Right.
And so
go ahead.
No, you're reminded of what? Go right ahead, bro.
Well, your comments brought me to Carter G. Woodson and his classic book, Miseducation of the Negro. And the point that he made was when you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his behavior. You don't have to tell him to stand here or go there. You know, he'll automatically go to that place. And the part of that quote that really just blew my mind when I saw it, he says, you don't have to tell him to go to the back door. He'll automatically go there. And if there is no back door, he will carve one expressly for his own purpose. I mean, that just struck me as being the quintessential definition of miseducation. So this business of re-educating our minds is really critical. I think it was Stephen Biko who said the greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And so we really have to get serious about reclaiming our minds and rebuilding our people from the cellular level on up. So all of that you were saying about no longer consuming devitalized foods and building diets of nutrient-dense, rich foods, high-frequency, high-vibration foods that help to lay the cellular foundation for being able to reopen the third eye.
Yes.
It's exciting when we take seriously the opportunity it presents to us and our children to stop behaving in ways that hurt us and begin to be very proactive in building healthy women and men to provide leadership to the planet. So, you know, and you said so much, Brother Thurman, that we could spend a whole program or a whole series of programs just talking about melanin, the third eye, the diet to lay the foundation for the opening of the third eye, the education as we raise the awareness to the level that the third eye becomes open. All of this was known information prior to the coming of Europeans onto the continent of Africa. And they made a systematic campaign to destroy it. They took a lot of it back with them to Europe, burned down the libraries on the African continent and said, you know, we never achieved anything and we never made any accomplishments to the world.
And made us believe it.
Well, I think when we grow up in environments where there's no information to say otherwise, we wind up believing it by default.
Yes.
And, you know, as good as this conversation is, I want to just remind our listeners that they can join the conversation. Dial 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone and we'll see your hand in the studio. We'll open your line, and you can give a comment or ask a question. Please feel free to call in and join the conversation. So I cut you off, Brother Thurman. Go right ahead. We were still talking about the miseducation and what we must do to overcome that.
Yes, and so, like you said, we could spend a whole lot of time, but when we get our people educated or either, you know, from in the womb and at birth to never allow the miseducation, we will automatically just migrate towards the center of reality and be on the path to the way. And a lot of what's holding us back, it wouldn't be there. It would just be eliminated. And so it's just so many pieces to it. And so when we get, and then pride, when pride comes back in, then we just wouldn't be falling for the foolishness. And in the miseducation, I'm reminded of Anthony Browder, you know, who's a historian and Egyptologist, and he's doing some excavation in Africa at this time, or just recently came back. But one of his books, I believe, was called From the Browder Files. It might have been Survival Strategy. But anyway, he had a 3-page article in there that was about culture, but it also included culture and hair. But anyway, part of the message was that he had statistically looked back up at least to the 40s when African people, or black people in this land in particular, were embracing culture. Statistically, we were harassed less. And so he came on into the 60s and early 70s, and in the 60s and early 70s, the Black Power movement and the Black Pride movement was in effect, and sisters and brothers were just proudly strutting afros and things like that, and James Brown came out with Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. But statistically, when the sisters and brothers rose up in pride and loving their skin, their hair, they were statistically harassed less. So then the power people put some money into black exploitation movies like Superfly, and the brothers went from having their afros to straightening their hair and put on tight pants and high heel shoes and put pocketbooks on their shoulders, and then statistically harass more. And so pride affects our energy, it affects our spirit. And so we, you know, part of our liberation is that we open the third eye and reawaken to our divine power that we have in us and connected with the creators and the ancestors. And that right there will start incrementally taking some of the pressure from the oppressors off of us. And I just wanted to emphasize that.
Well, thank you, Brother Thurman. It reminded me that one of the goals of Us Lifting Us in opening cooperative businesses and receiving the profits from those businesses, part of those returns would be put towards African-centered schools.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really expect those who oppress us and extract the labor and the mineral wealth from our lands to educate us. I mean, you know, I think back to all the energy we put into integrating schools, and I live in a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. We got the only thing that we could get from those systems, brainwashed children. I mean, if I'm oppressing you, I'm certainly not going to educate you to see yourself as my equal or superior. So yeah, we put our children through those school systems, and we still do today, expecting that they're going to come out self-determining, proactive, pro-Africa, raising the kinds of questions that we're discussing tonight and that we talk about on Thursday nights on this broadcast. We have to become very conscious about the fact that only an intentional African-centered education will give our children a different outlook. And we have to also take responsibility for providing that education. This is something that we have to do. And so organizing cooperative businesses and then utilizing a portion of those profits to put that back into funding these alternative African-centered schools is part of our work. And until we do that, then we're still going to be struggling with the side effects of our children being miseducated. And I'm glad you made that point, Brother Thurman, about how the movie industry and the culture shifted during the 60s and 70s when the Black Pride movement was going at full steam, and we began to get all of that counter-revolutionary literature and movies and music trying to blunt our determination to be liberated and to be sovereign, which takes the liberation to its full expression. So we're going to take a quick break. And on the other side of the break, we will begin to talk about the full ways that the Us Lifting Us plan allows us to fund our own institutions and rise up as self-determining women and men. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. we're back once again. Welcome to Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Thursday evening broadcast, coming to you via the Blog Talk Radio. My name is Brother Kimbizi, and I am with Brother Thurman tonight, and we're answering the question, can we achieve liberation while simultaneously over-consuming, enriching others, being miseducated, celebrating pilgrims and pumpkins and other things that are not a part of our history and culture? Brother Thurman, we have a caller on the line. Last three numbers are 6093. I'm going to open your line and hear your comment or your question. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. 6093, your line is open.
Yes, greetings this evening to Brother Thurman and to Brother Kimbizi. Yeah, this is Sister Nanana calling from Denver, Colorado. How are you all?
Good.
We're great. Good to hear your voice.
All right, thank you. Well, it's good to have the opportunity to participate as a listener, and thank you for addressing this subject. It's certainly very vital and informative, and really causes us to think through whether or not our actions and behaviors are truly in alignment with the results that we want to achieve. The comment that I have is that it seems to me that the answer to the question is no. That we, in fact, cannot achieve full freedom, that we cannot fully make the strides that we want to make moving forward in terms of our awareness, in terms of the path that we want to leave for our future generations to follow, that we cannot fully and successfully do that while at the same time still continuing to partake in some of the examples of the celebrations of holidays and other things that you mentioned, which actually empower those who are in this position to oppress us. So I just wanted to share that that's my perspective, that the answer to the question is no, and I'd be interested in hearing what other people think as well. So thank you for allowing me to have an opportunity to express that.
And thank you, Sister Nanana, for calling in and sharing your thought with us. I'm in agreement with you. And I'm pretty sure Brother Thurman is as well. And so let's talk then in the time that we have remaining about why Us Lifting Us is the solution to this problem. It begins to organize our behavior in a way that we make serious strides to actually being liberated and being sovereign. So, Brother Thurman, in your view, how does Us Lifting Us begin to help us get out of the trap of this over-consuming, the miseducation, the improper celebration? What's your thinking on this?
Us Lifting Us helps to, it's, for one, Us Lifting Us has in place an effective model, and we need to come together and pool our resources intellectually and financially, and the model is there. We're still going to build on it, but it's our ancient model in the first place. Capitalism is not, and so it's going back to our roots that has, as you were saying, it's got a horizontal spread that's not narrow and limited and leaving people out, including us. But it's a cooperative that in our ancient model, it wasn't limited to just economics, it was agricultural and other things. And it's providing it's so many things. The Us Lifting Us cooperative model provides so many things that we're not getting in this capitalistic model and capitalistic jobs and things like that. And so, just for example, the model will position us as we build the economics and begin businesses, that we would then, once we've got functioning businesses, and then we are able to help our people enormously, because we would be providing goods and services that would be coming through us, that we would otherwise, in the way we've been doing it, is buying it from others exclusively, generation after generation, all of our lives. And so we would be providing goods and services, but we would be providing jobs, you know, which would help the self-esteem of our people, because they would have to be going through the challenges of going in a workplace, regardless of what kind of work you do, firefighter, lawyer, doctor, craftsman. Every time we go in a workplace, we have to go through harassment and to get people off of us and stuff like that. When we're working amongst ourselves, we wouldn't have to go through that, and especially amongst ourselves when we've got and we are part of that re-education process. And then the jobs and feeling good about our jobs. And so, just as an example, a brother that's a part of a cooperative company, he said that before he came, he was a sharecropper. And he said, but he's so happy that he's come to a place where he's a part, he's got a say-so, and he's able to do some of everything and learn some of everything in the place that he's working. He said he would never want to go back to sharecropping. And also, there's profits that's going to come along. And with those profits, that positions us to expand our business models all over the planet, because Us Lifting Us is sort of wherever you are on the planet, you can be a member, and we already have members in Africa and more than one African country and throughout the world, the Caribbean and Africans that are working in Europe and Asia included. And then we would, at some point, you would be receiving dividends, and if you are a member, owner, and a worker, you're subject to receive work, dividends as well as a salary as a worker, but also bonuses for productive work, and positions us to be able to help our people in terms of charity. And also, something that's also important is to leave legacies into the future for future generations of our babies and children. And that's something that's a capitalistic thing, and It just would be insane for us not to move forward on that.
Right. When you laid that out, it's really not complicated at all. But I see we have another caller, Brother Thurman. The last three numbers are 3440. I'm going to open your line. And please tell us your name and where you're calling from. Let's try that again. 3440. Your line is open. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Greetings, brother. This is Brother Shabaka. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. A very good show, a very important show. I just had a brief comment I wanted to offer. Following what I believe Sister Nanana said or stated that she would say no, and I think the information that you have presented during the broadcast indicates that no, we cannot, you know, we cannot have sovereignty engaging in, you know, foreign culture values and a lot of other things. I wanted to add, though, and maybe you might be able to comment on it, is that one of the tricks that I've seen that is so distractive and makes it sometimes difficult to have our people focus, you know, like on the economics, is that they're appealing because they appeal to our individualistic nature, which is an aspect. You know, we are individuals, but we're also members of collectives. All right, we're members of family. But the instructions and narrative that you get from the society, which is controlled, all right, is that we appeal to our immediate gratification. As individual, it must be my gratification. And as a consequence of appealing to my gratification, it impedes my ability sometimes to see further. But the example that you just illustrated, you know, working together, only having ownership, cooperative ownership in a venture, begins to pull us and move us together such that the individualism that is propagated by the society, all right, is gradually replaced, and I say gradually replaced, you know, by cooperative and family values where we become together. And it should be noted that, you know, this is not going to, you know, happen next month, next year, or probably in the next 5 to 10 years. It's a process that builds in because we're talking about 300 to 400, you know, 500 years of an entanglement in a web of control that we've been exposed to. And, you know, it's not going to just dematerialize, you know, in a second or two. That's the comment I wanted to make, brothers, and thank you for the program and giving me the opportunity to talk.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Shabaka. Brother Thurman, you want to respond to Brother Shabaka's comment?
Yes. I think that, you know, I can relate to his comment. I would just add on the subject of in terms of what can we do, it's sometimes it's difficult to gauge how quickly people will move. But I can say that I know one of our members, Deborah, wrote last night that she said yes, but it was based on the fact that she was saying that all of our people are not awake and everybody's not ready to move. But I think she probably would have elaborated that and historically there have been some movements where when we put the right model in front of the people, we can mobilize large numbers of people. And so, for example, Marcus Garvey did that. He put together a well-put-together model that and people saw results coming out of that, and it brought out thousands of black people. And so we've got to continue doing what we're doing. We've got the right model, and we've just got to expose it to more people. And Nanana said a key word when she said no, and the key word was that she used the word fool. And we cannot be indulged in the European miseducation and the European madness and foolishness and the European holidays and just being celebrating and loyal to white people and white images and get full liberation. We can't do that. So if we're out of our African from that perspective of miseducation, the objective is to re-Africanize ourselves as Amos Wilson and other people talked about. And a brother that actually is the author of the Willie Lynch letter, he's got a book called The Psychotechnology of Brainwashing, and it's a technology to that. And so we've got to be reawakened, and we got to go at it in all subject areas, including the nutrition, because if you're eating a dead diet, you know, yeah, like I said earlier, the third eye is closed. And so the people that have experienced a change into a well-nourished plant-based diet have had an awakening they hadn't had prior to that.
Right. Well, we're just about out of time. We invite all of the listeners on the line to go to our website, usliftingus.com, and explore the website. See what the plan is. Pool our resources. We do that two ways. We take out a $50 annual membership. When we're able, we purchase a co-op unit for $1,000. And then collectively, we begin to open cooperative businesses that we own collectively that begin to meet the needs of our people, as Brother Thurman said. And that puts us on the path to liberation and sovereignty. Again, our phone number is 404-592-2780. Want to thank all of you on the call. Thank those of you who called in to make a comment or raise a question. Certainly want to thank Brother Thurman for sharing with us. You've given us a lot to think about. And you've inspired us to take seriously the work that is before us, because we have a workable plan that will work when we get to work it. Family, we'll see you next Thursday, same time, same station, 9 to 10. Please join us again as we do the work of daring to win. Peace, family. As we go out on the James Brown, I'm black and I'm proud.
Working for someone else. Look here, there's one more thing I got to say right here. Now we're people, we like the birds and the bees. We'd rather die on our feet, keep living on our knees.